You're listening to the Genesis Church Podcast. We're a community built to love God and love all. If you would like more information, visit our website at genesisyork.com. We hope you will enjoy this message.
Hey, we're back here on Monday with our continued study in the book of Galatians. Yesterday, we began chapter 2, and really I tried to convey through what Paul was experiencing in Jerusalem and what we're going to talk about today with him and Peter. I wanted to try and help us understand that living a life of integrity in Christ is so important. Because so many things in the world today are pulling people away from that relationship with Christ. Now, of course, in Galatians, Paul's dealing with circumcision, as we talked about yesterday, and he's also dealing with these false teachers who are trying to get people to go back to the Torah, the law of God, and saying that it's great to accept Jesus, but you need these things. So, in that conflict, what I want to look at in scripture for me and for you is that we find ourselves in conflict in so many areas, things that have infiltrated the church, things that are just roaming around in our society, the internal struggles that people have. So I hope it's not just looking at Galatians and looking at Galatians from a legalism, liberty side, but really trying to see the conflict that can come up against the truth of God's word. And how do we handle other things in the 21st century that are just as destructive as what circumcision and the law to salvation was that Paul deals with here in the book of Galatians. So we're looking at verse 11 through the rest of the chapter today. And yesterday we looked at the first 10 verses and got a picture of integrity. The last part here kind of expands on that. Paul is holding on to his integrity in the gospel. The gospel is central to what Paul is defending, what Paul believes, what he's teaching. And so we see now some application here as we expand on Peter, as we talk about those Judaizers, as we talk about Christians who are from a Jewish background and Christians from a Gentile background. So let's dive in here. I just want to walk through the verses, share some things with you. And I kind of entitled today, Tough Decisions in a Changing World. Tough decisions in a changing world. So what we have in chapter 2, as we begin looking at the second half, we have this dietary legislation versus freedom to eat food. We have this issue of circumcision versus non-circumcision. And I say dietary because what the Jews were trying to do was get Christians to go back and fulfill the law. And in the law, you got dietary restrictions. You got a lot of things that God, when he was creating a unique nation, established some unique things for that nation. And now the freedom in Christ is being threatened because through circumcision, through dietary laws, through keeping the Old Testament Torah, this false teaching has entered the church. So there are a lot of things from you and me today. You know, we want to hold on to the Word of God. We want to live a biblical worldview. And there's so many things coming at us that's trying to knock down our biblical worldview, attack us directly in what we believe. And so we need to pray hard. We need to stand. We kind of need to see how we're living in light of how Paul lived in defending the gospel and in defending truth. So we're going to be talking a lot about identity, as I said, and keep saying, identity going beyond Galatians into just the realm of life. And I have a feeling that as you and I walk through this, it's going to be amazing how much our world has an identity crisis and how sometimes believers get caught up in an identity crisis. And some of you may be struggling today. You may say, you know what, Pastor Bob, I have questions. And so your faith gets shaken a little bit because someone with a PhD or claims some type of knowledge, you know, has gotten into your head, and that battle's going on. I don't say that to condemn you or hurt you. I say that because you're struggling and we want to help. But let's jump in here. Let's jump right into what's going on. So here's Peter and Paul. I'm going to focus on those two guys a little bit as we walk today through Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to the end of the chapter. We got this conflict with Peter and Paul that's going to come up here. And Paul's going to have this opposition to Peter. When you look at verse 11, it says, "But when Cephas," another name for Peter, "came to Antioch." Now, Antioch is a thriving town. In fact, Antioch is the third largest city in the Roman Empire. You had Alexandria, you had Rome, and you had Antioch. So you got a lot of commerce, you got a lot of ideas, you got a lot of religion, you got a lot of different people, kind of like America, the melting pot. And so you got all these things coming at Antioch, and now you got the gospel because Paul spent some time in Antioch. It was in Antioch that they were first called Christians. And then Barnabas and Paul, you know, were sent out from Antioch. And so we see a very thriving city, but we also see a city that's been infected with spiritual truth. And of course, Paul here. So you got this going on here. You got this battle between Peter and Paul. So the Cephas came to Antioch. Paul said, "I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned." So here's opposition. And what Peter was doing, Peter was enjoying a great meal in a Gentile house. But when people from Jerusalem came, who James sent there, Peter backed off from his Gentile friends, backed off from Gentile food, and started hanging out with Jews only. Paul's saying, "What are you doing, Peter? You know, you go and you act one way when there are no Jews coming from Jerusalem, but once they come, you take on a whole different attitude." And so that's the conflict here that's going on. And so we look at verse 12 and it says, "For before certain men came from James, he was eating with Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing," listen closely, "the circumcision party." You see how circumcision, from what we looked at yesterday, is the issue that is underlying here and where Peter's at? And so Peter would back off and he would pull away. Peter was wavering on this whole issue of the Levitical food. And he was acting one way when Gentiles were there, acting another way when the Jews came. And so there was a separation. I don't know how you would feel. Can you imagine someone befriends you, eats in your home, you know, enjoys dinner with you, and then all of a sudden somebody comes to town and now they act like they don't know you? I don't know if you've ever had that experience with people, but that's what's happening here. I don't know how these Gentile Christians felt, but all of a sudden Peter wasn't hanging out with them. Now, Paul was called by Jesus to the Gentiles. So this is a real, you know, this is kind of like a thorn in the flesh for the Apostle Paul. You know, he's called to these Gentiles to preach the gospel. And here's Peter, another apostle, who's kind of playing this game of, "I'll hang out with what, you know, where it's best for me to hang out, depending who's there." So Peter, the Bible says here that Peter was standing condemned. The Bible, verse 13, "And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy." And so now this division not only has Peter kind of backing away from the Gentiles, but our faithful Barnabas. I love Barnabas. Barnabas is one of those come alongside people. And I did a series on Thursday night about Barnabas. And, you know, Barnabas cared for Paul. Barnabas cared for John Mark. Barnabas sold land and gave it to the church. Everywhere you look at Barnabas in the book of Acts, Barnabas is the encourager. In fact, the apostles recognized his encouraging spirit. They gave him that name, Barnabas, the son of consolation, or the encourager. Barnabas, who walked with Paul, who was with Paul, who was preaching salvation to the Gentiles, is even called up. You know, that's kind of a warning, isn't it? It should be a sober thought here, because if we're not careful and somebody talks a little bit, you know, logical, or maybe has a little bit more educational knowledge, comes along and tries to trick us, we could be like Barnabas. We love the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We have a good testimony for the Lord. But we could be led astray too. And so the Word of God warns us to always examine what's going on around us so that we're not led astray. Poor Barnabas. I don't know. I feel bad for him because he's such a good man. And he got caught up in this. And I think about the church today. I think about how the church today, many people get caught up in things, agendas. They get caught up in ideas. And it hurts our churches. It all really started and came out strong with COVID. And then it went into the political arena. And then, you know, every time there seems to be one new thing, instead of the church standing together, the church fights and separates. We become like the world in our debate, in our name calling, in our hurting. We become hypocritical in our behavior. And so I think for me, when I look at Galatians and see what's going on here with Peter and Paul, I have to make sure I need to preserve the unity of the body of Christ. If you remember from the message yesterday, my third point gave those five things about unity. It's so important that we maintain the unity of the body, because Satan wants to destroy you and me. He doesn't care about the church, and he doesn't care about us. So if he can get us at odds, like we see happening here in Galatians chapter 2, well, he's happy, you know, because then the work of God is slowed down. Think about that conflict here. Two great men, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, leaders, great men, at odds. How that Satan trying to destroy the unity of the church through this issue of food and circumcision and Levitical law and Torah, how Satan was just trying to destroy. Well, we see this conflict here, and we see that Peter pulled away. You know, he gradually went away from the Gentiles. You know, it's really interesting. Someone noted this about Peter. Peter was a man who recognized great truth. Remember when Jesus said, "Who am I?" What did Peter say? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What did Peter do at crucifixion? Deny Jesus three times. Peter, this commentator, made an interesting point. Peter seems to be a man who recognizes great truth, but then often pulls back. I thought that was interesting. You know, it just shows the humanity of these men. And I don't say that to make an excuse for them. When I think about how I mess up, I think, oh, wow, you know, these apostles, you know, they did the same thing. They had some issues that they had to deal with, just like I have to deal with issues. But when we're unified, we help each other. And Paul was seeking for the unity of the church again. He wanted to see the unity of the church, both Jew and Gentile, in Jesus fellowshipping together. And so we see this great controversy unfold here in chapter 2. So verse 13, we see the hypocrisy. We see what is said here. I like that word hypocrisy. I was reading and someone gave a definition that I didn't think about before. I know that hypocrisy, for example, was a term where you wear a mask often a theater term. And those of you who love theater, and you might enjoy being involved in theater, you know, you play a role. You play someone you're not. And that word comes from the Greek language into our English, hypocrisy. But one definition I heard, it was interesting. He said this: what is hypocrisy? Someone speaking under a mask. Someone speaking under a mask. The mask is over our face. We look like someone else, but it's still us who are speaking. We're just taking on a different character. And so here was Peter. Everybody knew Peter's voice, but all of a sudden he was wearing a mask of turning away from the Gentiles. And so Paul is attacking that. Barnabas, like I said, got in that same situation. We read there, and even Barnabas was led astray there in verse 13. Paul says in verse 14, when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. See, folks, that's the core. Okay, don't just get caught up in Peter and Paul having an argument. The issue came about because it was affecting the gospel. The gospel is at the core of what you and I believe in Christ. The gospel's at the core of our church. The gospel's at the core of serving the Lord. And the gospel was being affected here. Do you ever think about that? How does my behavior affect the gospel? How does your behavior affect the gospel? We need to realize the gospel is primary to what we are called to do in Jesus, to preach the gospel, to live out the gospel. And so Paul says here in verse 14, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force Gentiles to live like a Jew? In other words, Paul was saying, Peter, you can't have this both ways. And so verse 14, you know, he kind of elaborates on that a little bit. The step of those avoiding Gentiles was not in step. Peter took a step out, not in toward the Gentiles, but away from them. And so that word there, let me go back when he says there in verse 14, but when I saw that their conduct was not in step. That little word step there, as a better translation of that verse is, it's the idea that they were not walking a straight course. The idea of not being in step is means you're stepping out of a straight course. And so Paul approaches Peter because he was getting out of step. You know, if you've ever been in a marching band or the military, you know what it is to stay in step. And you know what it is or what it would look like if you got out of step. And so the idea here is walking on that straight course. Peter didn't walk in the moment. He was not walking a straight course with the gospel. He was letting other factors from the Old Testament affect the work of Jesus in the New Testament. So it is not, I like this quote. Augustine made this quote. I love this quote. It is not advantageous to correct in secret an error which injured openly. It is not advantageous to correct in secret an error which injured openly. Paul was openly saying to Peter and everybody around him, hey, Peter, you're stepping off the line here. You're not walking straight anymore. And Paul approached that publicly. So sometimes in our own lives, you know, some of the conflict has to come to a public arena and not just privately, because it affects so many other people. So Paul was striving for unity, like I mentioned yesterday in the message. He was striving for unity in the Jew and Gentile church. When you look at verses 15 and 16, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Now, don't take that Paul is name calling. It's not like, look at those dirty Gentiles over there. What Paul is doing in that verse, that very short verse there, what he is doing, he is saying, we are Jews that have been justified, The word sinners there, he's using that word from a Pharisaic standpoint. Remember how religious the Pharisees thought they were? They were better than sinners. They were better than the common people. They were religious. Well, what Paul's trying to say here, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. He's saying, I come out of that Pharisaic background. I come out of that background of Torah. I come out of that background of being religious. What he's trying to say here is in verse 16, yet, so even though I'm a Jew and I'm different than Gentiles, because at one time as a Pharisee, I looked at Gentiles as these sinners. He says in verse 16, yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. So think of it. If I look at life through the eyes of a Pharisee, I'm better than a lot of people, especially those dogged Gentiles. But then what Paul says in verse 16, none of us are justified by works. It's all in Christ. So I can't depend on my Pharisaical behavior. I can't look at a Gentile and say, I'm better than you, because we have all sinned, the Bible says. And so we find here in verse 16, it goes on to say, a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. And so we find here that the law doesn't justify us. The law reminds us. The law reminds us we're sinners. Paul's going to say later in Galatians, the law is like a principal or a schoolmaster. It disciplines us when we are out of step. And so the law, and that's why I believe the Bible says the law is good. The law has a moral quality about it that keeps you and me in check. But the law doesn't have the power to save. So it's good, but it's not salvation. And so we find here that Paul is really stressing to Peter, come on, Peter. You know, it has nothing to do with our Jewish background. It has nothing to do with me being a Pharisee in the past. It's my faith in Christ. Peter, it's your faith in Christ. Remember how Peter was sent to Cornelius's house in Acts chapter 10? That vision was given to him that he should go. And he said to Lord, Lord, and I'm paraphrasing this, Lord, I'm Jewish. I don't eat unclean Gentile food. Remember how that sheet was let down in Peter's vision and he saw all that unclean food? And God said, take and eat, Peter. Cornelius got saved. Peter led a Gentile to Jesus. A Gentile's house got saved. That was Peter there. So Peter had contact with Gentiles even before we're talking about this issue here in Galatians. And then verse 17 says, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. In other words, Paul says, if I return to the law, I've abandoned Christ. And so it's not a matter of returning to law, but a matter of following Christ. And then he gives a little bit of a testimony here as we close out today in verses 19 and 20. For through the law, I died to the law so I might live to God. I have been crucified. This is a famous verse we know. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul was a Pharisee. His life in the flesh would have been very religious before. But now he says the life I now live in the flesh is not a Levitical system or a Torah mandate. I live in Christ. And he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's really interesting because what Paul is saying here, at one point in time, I was crucified, but I am now continually living in Christ. So in the language, we have one point in time, something happened. What happened there? Paul said, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. At one point in time, I got saved. Now what's happening? I am now in a continual action of living out my faith. And so the day you and I got saved, at one point in time, wherever that day of salvation was for you, at one point in time, you accept Jesus. Now we live a life of faith. We live a life growing in our spiritual journey and moving forward with the Lord. Paul says in verse 21, ending this chapter, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Paul's saying if the law could have done it, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. But the law couldn't do it, so we need Jesus. Our world's in an identity crisis. The Word of God gives us a picture of salvation in Jesus, and the world's searching everywhere for something. What you and I need to do is live the gospel. Let the gospel be a part of our life that we'll have the opportunity to witness to people and see God save people who hear the message that Jesus saves. Hey, thanks for listening. We're now through two chapters in Galatians. If you missed the first Monday night, you can jump back there and see it. But hopefully between Sunday and Monday, you're getting a good picture of Galatians and seeing a great picture of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Genesis Church podcast. If you are encouraged by this message, please give us a rating and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information about Genesis Church, visit us at genesisyork.com.